Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
So the purpose of resurrection is not that Jesus rose. He did it so that the Holy Spirit can come again and live in us so that God can continue his original plan.
The resurrection of Jesus served as a demonstration of his authority over sin and death. As we celebrate Easter, it is essential to recognize not only the resurrection, but also the subsequent arrival of the Holy Spirit. God breathed his Spirit into humanity during creation, but sin led to our spiritual death. However, through his sacrifice on the cross and subsequent resurrection, Jesus paved the way for us to receive the Holy Spirit once more, aligning us with God's original intention for a life lived in communion with the Holy Spirit. Let's listen to Pastor Neil with today's lesson, Resurrection, a Means to an End.
All right, I want to speak on the subject, resurrection, a means to an end. I'm actually trying to ask a question, but my topic is affirmative. Maybe the question should have been, resurrection, is it a means or is it an end? But I know the answer, so I'm stating it straight for you. Resurrection, a means to an end. Everybody say a means to an end. Now, why do we work? Can somebody tell me, why do we work? Why do we work? People say compensation. You could be compensated anywhere. Why do we work? Basic. Because we want what? Money. Okay, so the work and the money. Which one is a means? Which one is the end? The work is a means to the money. Do the two look alike? They're very different. All right. Why do we go to college, young people? Why do you want to go to college? Because you can drop out and work anyway. So why do you still go to college? Any young person want to talk to me? To earn a degree. There are people with degrees and they don't have cash. So why do we go? We go so that we can have a much better salary. The truth is, at a certain level, you are not on the same platform as the one who went much higher. It is what it is. All right? Okay. What I want to show you is that the church is very good. Christians are very good of celebrating the means, but never the end. The resurrection is a means. The end is the Holy Spirit returning. The cross, somebody came here one time and said, Pastor, there's no cross in your church. Because we have crafted everything about Christianity about the means, forgetting the end. Now, let me give you a summary, because what I'm about to teach you is not popular, but it is the truth we miss. If you notice all the songs we sang and then we jumped, it was all enshrined about he died, he rose, he resurrected. Why? The end. Why did he do it? That's what is important. Amen. And that is what I want to take you through today. So tell the person sitting next to you, resurrection, a means or an end? Please give them an answer. All right, let's begin with some definition here. A means to an end simply means two things. One, it is something that is done only to produce a desired result. There are things we do just so we can get something. We go to college to make more money, but we could have also still make more money. But we keep pursuing and keep pushing everybody to do it because we know that once you engage in certain activities, there is always an end to the end. The second definition of the phrase a means to an end is that something you do in order to achieve something else. So whatever you do is not what you're going to achieve. Your intent is to achieve something else. Amen. So Jesus came on earth. He was born as a Savior. Jesus lived among us, performed miracles. All the things he did, went to the cross, he died, was buried, and the Bible says he rose from the dead. All of them is a means. He did it so that the Holy Spirit can come back again and live in our spirits. I know that is not popular. So when we celebrate Easter and you have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, you are not celebrating Easter because you don't understand it. Because you celebrate something, not the means, you must celebrate. Come on, talk to me. You must celebrate. Look there with me, the book of John chapter 19, verse 30. John chapter 19. We see that Jesus is hanging on the cross. He says, when he had received a drink, Jesus said, it is finished. Did Jesus say, it is finished? Now, if you went to a place to do a work and the work was finished, why do you keep hanging out in the place? Jesus still stayed and kept hanging around because it was finished to something else, but his main reason for coming was not finished yet. So sometimes we celebrate, it is finished on the cross, and the Holy Spirit is not resident in you. It is not finished. The only time it becomes finished is when the Spirit is resident in you. Then it is finished. But Pastor, the scripture says it is finished. It was finished to part one, and I'll explain it to you. Please go with me. God's original intent, his original purpose, when he created you and me, was so that we live by the Holy Spirit. That is God's original intent. The book of Genesis chapter 2. I need you to look at the 7th verse. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. Everybody say breathe. Breathe. Say it again, breathe. It is the Hebrew word ruach. God breathed his spirit. Spirit is pneuma. So he breathed his spirit, and then we became a living being. So God's original intent is that you don't live by your brains. You live by his spirit. When the spirit speaks, then your brains follow what the spirit says. So libraries are as a result of the fall. Libraries is not God's original intent. This is why when Peter stood in front of Jesus with the rest of the disciples, and the scripture says, Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am? They said, some say you are John the Baptist. Some says you are what? Elijah. And then Jesus says, who do you guys think I am? Jesus was asking them about what have you learned? And he says, based on the learning processes of life, we learn by what people say. Most of us today, it's everything on the internet. Nothing in the Bible. But then Peter comes on the scene and he says, you are Christos. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say to Peter? What did Jesus say? He says, you didn't learn this in the school. It was revealed to you. So he's showing us that the highest level of learning is what the Holy Spirit brings, not what you read in a book. Because sometimes you can read the entirety of the Bible and you will never know God. But when the Spirit of God reveals God to you, it becomes real. This is why Richmond's experience is important. Don't shut it down. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Amen. So God's original intent is that he breathed his spirit into man and we became living beings. When mankind sinned, the Holy Spirit left our human spirit, and we call that spiritual death. So most people today are physically alive, but they are spiritually dead. As long as the Holy Spirit is not resident in you, you are dead. You are living dead. I think there's a movie called that, right? You are living what? You are living physically, but spiritually, you are dead. So God's original intent is that I live by His Spirit, not the other way around. When we sin, the Holy Spirit left. He told Adam and Eve, He said, the day you eat of this fruit in the garden, in the middle of the garden, He says, you will surely die. God was not talking about physical death. Because after Adam ate that, he lived 500 plus years. But he began to die spiritually from that day. So anytime a person is born, you start dying from the day you were born. Because you are going towards the day of death. Amen. I need you to follow me very carefully. I wanted to shy away from teaching this because there were kids going to be here. But you have been indoctrinated by very powerful things. So it's also good that I indoctrinate you with this truth. Amen. Are you understanding me? God's original intent is not to live by information on a phone. His original intent is for you to connect with Him through the Holy Spirit so He can teach you. Anything else is secondary. Amen. Are you guys understanding that? So when the Holy Spirit left because of sin, the Bible says from that day we began to die. Now everybody pay attention. This is where it gets interesting. Death existed, but it could not kill. Before humans sinned, death was already in existence, but it had no power to kill. It is sin that gave it power. So death was there. But death could not do anything until sin comes into the picture. And then the Bible says death is what? Activated. Sin gave power to death. Look with me in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I wanted you to go home and go over these scriptures over and over. Because this is so crucial to our spiritual walk. You must understand it. The Bible says the sting, or what I call the power of death, is sin. And the power of sin is the law. It is the law that we were not able to obey. Therefore, sin came into being. And whenever sin is practiced, death is introduced. I need you guys to follow me very carefully. God wants you to originally live by His Spirit. We have sinned, so the Holy Spirit leaves our human spirit. And God is indicating that sin actually gives power to death. Therefore, every human being will experience the sting of death. And it is because of sin. Are you with me? Jesus showed up. His work was so that He deals with death and then conquers death by making sure that He overpowers sin and opens the way so the Spirit can come again. Are you following me? This is important. But you all know that Jesus came on earth not the same way we all came. The Bible says He did not come through the will of a man. The seed was just taken and placed into Mary. So there was no sexual contact. He came as sinless. For Him to be able to accomplish that, He has to take my sin. He has to take your sin. He has to collect all our sins so that death will have power over Him one time. Are you with me? Because without it, death could not have. The power of death is sin. And if he is sinless, death has no power over him. But just so he can become the substitution that God wants him to be, he has to collect all our sins and put it on him. So the Bible says, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, so that through his righteousness, we might become the righteousness of God. Are you with me? I need you to follow me very carefully. Sin gives power to death. Death had to be destroyed. Jesus says, now let me take on their sin so that death can have power one time. So the Bible says he died, and after he died, he was buried. And after he was buried, he said, it is finished. Why didn't he stop there? Because if he did, then death had power over him, because now he has taken on our sin. So the purpose of the resurrection was so that Jesus can prove, not that he has authority over death, but he has authority over sin again. If Jesus stopped there, it means that he did not complete the actual work he came to do. So whenever we celebrate, our celebration should not just be about the cross. Because the cross was not the end of it. Are you guys with me? John chapter 20. Let's look at a few verses starting from the 19th verse. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, and this is about when Jesus had died, all right, and he resurrected. He said, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Verse 20, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. What was Jesus doing? He was giving them proof that he's alive. All right? The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Let's pause. We'll read 22 later. So Jesus resurrects. He comes back to life. He is proving that he does not only have authority over death, but the thing that gives death that power. It's called what? Sin. How many of you remember that when Jesus rose from the dead, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin offered the soldiers money to lie that Jesus did not come back to life? That is very crucial in the scriptures. You know why? Because in those days, in the Roman platoon, if you were a military guy in Rome and you were sent to a foreign land, the last thing you ever want to do is to lie on a job. Your head goes. So what the Sanhedrin was asking the soldiers to do, pretend that you were sleeping so you didn't see the body when it was being stolen. It is interesting that the scripture says, when Jesus revealed himself to Mary Magdalene, and then she ran and told the people, when they came back, the cloth, right? Those things that was used to bury Jesus was folded. Do you think if people were stealing the body, they will have time to unravel the entire wrappings and then fold it neatly and put it down? Jesus was saying, my body was not stolen. I got up. I took my time to get it off, and I folded it, and I put it down. Because this is how I show to the world that I have overpowered what? Death. And in retrospect, he's overpowering sin. Are you guys following me? But if Jesus rises from the dead, Paul says, why is it that many of you are saying he did not rise? Because if Jesus did not rise, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain, the scripture says. But it says Jesus did indeed rise because it's a historical event. All the dates we write are named after the day he died and rose up. After the death of Jesus. AD, we are in AD what? 2024. The people who deny and say all kinds of crazy stuff, your dates you write every day must remind you that he got up from the grave. Amen. Amen. So Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus got up on the third day to show that he has power over death. And if he has power over death, then he has power over the thing that gives death power. He has power over sin as well. Because notice, in the verse that we read, the scripture says, the body you and I carry, we can be at one place at one time. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he could enter places without going through the door. Because now, the words of Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 15 comes to pass. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in what? Honor. It is sown a physical body, but it is raised what? A spiritual body. And that is what has taken place. So now, Jesus is dead. Jesus has been buried. Jesus has resurrected. He's done everything that needs to be done. He already said it is finished. But notice, he still does something that is crucial. This is John chapter 20 and verse 22. Please read, everybody. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Interesting. It is finished, tetelestai, right? Why is he still doing this? Because anybody who went to a place to do a work, when you are done, you have to leave. But Jesus is still lingering around because it was finished to one thing. But the main job that is on God's agenda was not finished yet. And he has to stick around. And with that, he breathed. How many of you remember we read in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that God formed man and God ruach his pneumah. He breathed on man. Jesus, after rising up and saying, now I have silenced death and I have silenced sin, now the Holy Spirit can come again. And his first act after resurrection is to breathe the same way God the Father breathed in the book of Genesis. And he breathed on them. And he says, ruach my pneumah, receive my spirit. Are you understanding this? The word receive, I've underlined it for a reason. If you slash this word into two, it has what is called an English construct. The actual word is the word sieve. The prefix re means again. So you see words like resurrection, redeem. When you say deem, what does it mean? Out of which we get the word deed. You own. So to redeem is to own again. Return. And so on. Repent. Always look for the word. And the word sieve simply means take, get, take. Jesus said, as the Father breathed in Genesis and said, take the Holy Spirit. After he cleansed everything, overcame death, overcame sin. Now, man is prepared to receive. And the disciples, as the representative of the entire human race, he is now saying, take it again. You never take something again that you did not originally have. So when we sing, up from the grave he arose, and we dance, and we leave the Holy Spirit out of the equation, we have it wrong. Are you with me? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with all of us singing. We were singing, worthy is the Lamb. But those who sing, worthy is the Lamb, must be those who are led by the Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit being the end in all of this, we are only preoccupied with the means. How many of you go to parties and the celebrant is not present and then the party is started? Anybody? Anytime you go to parties, when does the party begin? What? The party only begins when the celebrant is. If we start having fun without the celebrant, that means the end is not there. All you are doing is a means. You're trying to have fun with the real thing. So today, we must understand this. While Jesus was alive, I'm quoting one last scripture because we want to pray. John chapter 14, look at verse 16 and verse 17. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, And he will give you another advocate or another comforter or another of the same kind. So he was saying, Jesus, me, I am here. And I'm here as a helper to you. But I will ask the Father to send you another. How is he going to do that? He said, he is the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, I'm reading John 14, 17. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you. That part of it means when Jesus was with them, he says he is what? With you. But then he is going to be where? In you. When he leaves, the Holy Spirit will come and live in us. So the purpose of resurrection is not that Jesus rose. He did it so that the Holy Spirit can come again and live in us so that God can continue his original plan. I want to end with an analogy. How many of you believe that God is a king? If you are in church and you don't believe God is a king, I don't know why you're here. God is not a president. He's not a prime minister. He's a king. There's a difference between kings and prime ministers. Nobody worships a prime minister, but we worship what? Kings. When I was growing up, there was a concept of kingship in my village. When the king was put into a palanquin and people were carrying him and he was passing by, everybody don't even look at him. We bow. Why? Because we said it is only by your grace that we live in this kingdom. Are you guys following me? So God is a... It's a concept that is foreign to people in the United States because this country began in rebellion to an earthly king. So sometimes, whenever you talk about God is a king, your understanding is warped. But let's go back to the scriptures. God is a king. Everybody say, God is a king. Therefore, the Bible is a book of a kingdom. It's not a book of democracy. It's God that makes the decisions. In fact, we are not talking about democracy. We are talking about theocracy, when God is in rule. In fact, there are two answers to every question. God's answer and everybody else's answer. And everybody else's answer is wrong. God's answer is right. I don't care what Congress thinks. The answer is wrong. As long as it's not in line with God. Are you following me? So God is a king. When kings want to rule a foreign territory, they always send in a person called the governor. Everybody say governor. Most governors are people who used to live in the palace. They live in the courts of the king. They understand how the king does his things. And most of the time, you will realize that the king himself never shows up at the territory, but is the governor that represents him in the territory. Are you following me? Young people, do you understand? We are not talking about president. We are talking about kings. It's not a foreign concept. Learn it. Because I know you're capable. You learn all kinds of stuff. The governor is there to show the people what to do. So, for example, if you go back to my country of birth, Ghana, people still wear three-piece suit in 100 degrees Fahrenheit because the colonial masters, the governor taught us how to put it on. But kingdoms have effects, and the effect is put in place by the governor. The governor doesn't go alone, so he goes with other people. In fact, recently I took my wife to Jamaica, and we were at a junction, and then we realized the guy is taking a turn. We said, what is he doing? Only to remember that they still drive on there and they left. That is the effect of a kingdom. Because Great Britain ruled them. And if you go to England, they still drive on there. Mm-hmm. The governor who was sent to Jamaica has taught them, in the original kingdom, we drive on the left. It's amazing how Christians would say they represent a kingdom, yet they conform to the standards of this world.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.